The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness, for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me, and your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me. In the presence of my enemies, you anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Hello. I'm going to read Psalms 77. One second. Okay. I cry out loud to the Lord, and he will hear me. In the day of my trouble, I seek the Lord. In the night, my hand is stretched out without wearying. My soul refuses to be comforted. When I remember God, I moan. When I meditate, my spirit faints. You hold my eyelids open, so I am troubled that I cannot speak. I considered the days of old, the years of long ago. I said, let me remember my song in the night. Let me meditate in my heart. Then my soul made a diligent search. Will the Lord spur forever and never again be favorable again? Has his steadfast love forever ceased? Are his promises at an end for all time? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in anger shut up his compassion? Then I said, I will appeal to this, in the years of the right hand of the Most High. I remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I remember your wonders of old. I will ponder on your work and meditate on your mighty deeds. Your way, O God, is holy. What God is great like our God? Are you the God? You are the God who works wonders. You have made known your might among the peoples. You, with your arm, redeem your people, the children of Jacob and Joseph. When the waters saw you, O Lord, when the waters saw you, they were afraid. Indeed, the deep trembled. The clouds poured out water. The skies gave forth thunder. Your arrows flashed at every side. The crash of your thunder was in the whirlwind. Your lightnings lighted up the world. The earth trembled and shook. The way was through the sea, the path through the great waters, yet your footprints were unseen. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron.
Thank you.
You have a mic.
I do. Thanks. Yeah, you have a mic. Thanks. So, there was kind of an idea that, as I was starting to say earlier too, is that we were asking each of our kids what they saw at this Advent season, what their thoughts were, what their ideas were. And that was the reason for each portion that has been brought so far, was this is their ideas, things that they're thinking about at Advent season. Scriptures, as you saw a video, Lazarus rising. And as we know, Lazarus' name is Lazarus. Anyways, so his mindset is on that as well. And each of us had a portion of it within this. And then now Rachel and I are going to give a little piece of some things from ourselves in past situations and in life of what Advent is to us.
Good morning. Matt and I were talking about Advent and just a way to kind of, just include the families. And so when I think of the coming, a few years back, we had experienced miscarriage, and I've shared that with the church at length before. But I have experienced the coming of the light into a very dark place in our lives since the beginning of our marriage. We had some pretty intense marriage issues in the beginning. We had separated for a time, and the Lord entered into our darkness there. A few years ago, we miscarried. Baby boy, right in the beginning of December, December 9th, I think, is actually the day that that we found out that we had lost him. And it was my first loss. It was shocking and dark. And I sat for weeks waiting for my body to go into labor on its own. I sat on the couch kind of afraid to go out, afraid to, because I didn't know how this worked. And so I thought, oh, I don't want to go into labor in the middle of Walmart, and so I, yeah, I just stayed home and kind of feeling unable to go anywhere, and I didn't enjoy that time very well. And so just days before I found out, Neve and I had gone into Swift Current, and we were living at the Bible College at the time, and it was our second year there. When we had moved, we left a lot of things behind, our Christmas decorations and our Christmas tree, to name a few. We had borrowed a tree the first year from a local family, and they gave us everything that we needed to decorate the tree and to decorate our house and just to make it festive in our home, and I was thrilled. I was so disappointed that we left it at home, and so when they had offered it to us, our second year in town with Neve, this is our second year, I was wandering around with her through Walmart, and I'd spotted this beautiful fake tree with white snow-like stuff all over the branches, and it was on sale. And so I called Mac, and I basically begged him to let me buy this tree. He knows my love for Christmas and for all things decoration and festivity and lights, and so he said yes. Fast forward 1 week, and we were mourning the loss of a baby. And I sat for weeks with this beautiful tree, sad and distressed and shame-filled, embarrassed. I still have that tree. It's the tree we use. That dark Christmas, God came near. And I know I've experienced the gospel in the past. I know that he's ministered to my heart in the past. Like I said, in our marriage, you know, we haven't shared that, but that is one. But that Christmas was a little different. And it's not unlike what he did in Matthew 2, 16 to 18. And I believe that's actually on the front of your bulletin. And it says, "Then Herod, when he realized that he had been outwitted by the wise men, flew into a rage. He gave orders to massacre all the boys in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old and under, in keeping with the time that he had learned from the wise men. Then what was spoken through Jeremiah the prophet was fulfilled. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and she refused to be consoled because they are no more." He always makes himself known in the darkness. He always brings hope in the midst of dark places. All of us have experienced the high priest, the king, draw near in dark times. And that was the year I had heard Songs of Hope. It's by the Gospel Coalition, and it's a group of people who got together, and it was during COVID, and they had written different songs and different spoken word and poems. And it was a balm to my hurting heart at that time. And there's a poem from there that I'd like to share with you. This is by Glenn Shrivner. "It used to be summer when Christmas came round, 'neath tall southern skies, over sun-scorched ground, with the backyard cricket, the Barbies, the beach, and munching on mangoes to watch the Queen's speech, the slathering of sunscreen, the glorious glare, and toasting the glow in the warm evening air. It used to be summer when I was young. A golden age in a land far flung. But there came a point I crossed a divide, went up in the world, and summer had died. December is dark now. The nights close in, so we huddle together as kith and as kin. It's winter now when Christmas rolls round. We celebrate still, though with different surrounds. We mull the wine and strike the matches, light the fires, batten the hatches, gather around the warming beam of family love or a TV screen. So safe inside, no place to go, we toast marshmallows and let it snow. Our summer's gone. If you've been around, you've felt the fall. Life's run aground. We've gone up in the world, seen summer die. So what's our hope? The dark defy? Stoke the hearth? Retreat indoors? Rug up warm with you and yours? The shadow reaches even here, but this is the place for Christmas cheer. It's dark in the Bible when Christmas is spoken. Always a bolt of blue, always a bolt from the blue for the broken. It's the valley of shadow, the land of the dead. It's no place in the end. So he stoops to the shed. He's born to the shameful, bends to the weak, becomes the lowly, the God who can't speak. And yet, what a word, the Savior who comes, our dismal, abysmal depths he plumbs, through crib and then cross to compass our life, to carry and conquer our brother in strife. He became what we are, our failures he shouldered to bring us to his life forever unfolded. He took on our frailty, he took on all comers to turn all our winters to glorious summers. It's Christmas now, whatever the weather. Some soak in the sun, some huddle together. But fair days or foul, our plight he embraces. Real Christmas can shine in the darkest of places. Something changed for me that year. I came to know the God who brings light to the world, who is the light to the world in a way I hadn't known him before. And in a way that I don't believe I would have known him if not for that very dark, very lonely, bleak time. We worship in our house, and yours, I'm sure, too, not a baby in a manger, but a great shepherd who goes to the dark places and seeks and saves the lost. He is coming one that John heralded and the angels proclaim.
I'm just going to light, we want to light the candle because the whole, we have our candle array that we do. I know we've had a few years, they've had some issues with how they burned, but we want to light the candle of hope at this time. Can I get you, Neve, to come up though? That's right there. And as she's lighting that, I'm just going to read from here. And as I've spoken before on the wreath, and the point of the wreath was first done with a man who looked after many children, an orphanage. You can light whichever candle. And when he would have a full wreath, and there was many more candles in between, and then the bigger, taller ones separated in between, but he would light those to remind the children as the time of Christmas was coming around and the Advent season itself to bring about. We have the five specifically that we do, the four, and then Christmas itself, and our service that we will have as well, Christmas Eve. But hope is something and a base from this first lighting of the candle and from what we're reading here today as well from Rachel and I too, from our family as well. And the Advent season itself, I believe, is extremely important. I was never much to celebrate it. I had Christmas throughout my life. I grew up in a Christian home, but I had Christmas itself presented to me. But a lot was evolved around gifts or just Christmas Day itself or Christmas Eve maybe. But it was that. That was there. Christ was being known. It was known. But it was just Christmas itself, the day itself of what we profess to say is the day he was born. Not that it's an exact. But Advent can feel like a dark season. But Advent itself is an enlightening season within the darkness. Do you see the lights at Christmas time? Do you see the brightness of those lights and the array of the trees and the gifts and the food and the cold outdoors itself, the laughter and the tears and the songs of gladness? These give way to illuminate hope as we've lit the hope candle. And then as well, peace, joy, and love in the darkest of times. Hope can be found because where the light is, the darkness fades. It was dark in Egypt when every firstborn son was given to the angel of death, the Egyptian people. Israel, though, themselves did not feel it in the death of their firstborn son. But it was so dark you could feel it. And Israel had the blood and the covering over the posts that cared for them because they had sacrificed that lamb and they ate in haste to get ready to leave Egypt to go into the desert. But there was darkness there that night. But as well, there was darkness on Mount Sinai, in the cloud itself, over the mountain. But there was a voice. But if anyone touched the mountain, death. When you come to salvation, you feel the weight of darkness in your sin and in your death. But when that light shines forth instantly, darkness is gone. John 1:5, the light shines in darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. When you understand the scriptures and the importance of the law itself, and what it is pointing to, you will understand it is pointing straight at the life and the light of man, the Son of God. Pointing to the birth of life and the God of God in the flesh, God who is with us. John chapter 1 and all of Scripture is like a beacon in the darkness of nights. In Genesis 1, 3-4, we have dark and we have light together, the contrasting there. We have dark first and the and God himself was over and hovering. And the light and God separates light from that darkness. It says in those scriptures, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. I have found that at Advent season, this Advent season, any, of preparation is a time to reconnect, slow down, rethink, recenter, refocus each of our directions. It can help us understand again the coming of Christ. Herod murdered every boy 2 years and under during the birth of Christ. Light amidst darkness. The verse that we read earlier, Rachel weeping for her children. But again, I want to remind you of John 1:5. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness has not overcome the light. I want to add a little bit to this to say, if you remember how but once a year they would come to the priest to offer a sacrifice to atone for their sins, and it was always a reminder of their sin, but of their Redeemer. The laws, I just want to say this again, because sometimes, or maybe there's someone here who doesn't understand it, but the law itself was pointing, always pointing. It always pointed to the Redeemer. But the Pharisees, the Sadducees, all those who thought that they were so beautiful and righteous because they obeyed the laws and required man to obey the laws that they then put forward, thought that they were so great and that the righteous one was all within themselves and their own abilities. But the righteous, the light of life, had come into the world. He has already come. Christ has already come. We hope in the return of Christ, but we rejoice at this Advent season knowing that Christ himself was the coming and is the light of the world. So the light shines in darkness, and darkness has not overcome it. So he is coming, and he is the coming one. He is the one who we celebrate every Christmas. So brothers and sisters, I am sure you have known the light of the world illuminate himself to you in a very dark circumstance or circumstances, and maybe there's ones going on right now for you in your own lives. We know Stan and Gail, we've prayed for them earlier. We know that they're going through a dark time. And a rejoiceful time at the same time, knowing that at any moment, Gail could be with the Lord. So there is joy in that. And now we too celebrate Advent season, remembering what Christ has done. Friends, maybe your eyes haven't been opened yet at all to the ways and the glory of the coming of Jesus and his presence in your dark times. So I would pray he would enlighten your eyes as he did Paul, and that you would be blinded by his glorious light, and then the scales would fall off and you would then see clearly. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for this morning. I thank you that we do have the glorious light that is there for us. And I do ask, as well as each of us leave here today and as this Advent season goes forward, that each and every one of us would stop, rethink, look at our lives, look at what's going on around us, look at our friends, look at our families, look at our jobs, look at everything that's happening before us, and that we would lay it before you. If there is sin in our lives, if there's things that we have been choosing to do that is not glorious in your eyes, would we bring it to you? And would your light shine forth from us and in us? And Father, as well, if there's anyone here today that does not know you or has questioned and has questioned for years or has questioned for just this moment, that they would find life and the light and the light of life. As well, Father, I think of Stan, I think of Jessica, I think of Gail at home, I think of their situation at hand, and the physical that Gail is going through in her own life, but I thank you that Stan himself is saying that Gail is ready to be with her Lord, and I thank you that we have that confidence that we will be with you one day, that we will be in your presence, that we at any moment, if we pass at this very moment, that we would be in your presence for all eternity. As Paul said, and as we know Paul said, that he so desired to be here, but at the same time longed to be with you. He was here because he wanted to care for the ones that were here, but he longed after that eternity with you, with his Lord. So Father, I just pray that as we go through this Advent, that our longing is to be with you, our Lord, and that we would desire to present the light in our time here on earth, because that is what you want us to do. So help us to be a light to the nations, and let your light go forth. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing.
You just want to stand.
Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin. Divine, oh night. shepherds proclaim him as Lord. Let not the promised son remain a stranger. In reverent worship, may Christ you're adored.
Name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Go and remember that and be blessed.
We made it.